two dudes crashing the stage at the Game Awards. This is the Max Level Podcast. Welcome home. For the uninitiated, Max Level is a weekly breakfast powwow brought to you by RPGera.com. I am your host, Brian, and joining me on the show today, it is Sev. Welcome back to Max Level, Sev. It's been a minute.
It has been a while. Hello, everybody. Hello, Max Level Galaxy.
Sev, I fucked up. I should have introduced you as the co-host of Blood and Destroyers, an Ollie wrestling podcast every Monday. Fucked up. Didn't do that. Oh, well.
Yeah, you can find me over there every Monday.
You don't have a stable, unless you have a video game stable for me.
No, unfortunately, no, you caught me off guard that I do not have a video game stable for you.
Hopefully you have a video game developer for me on the Fantasy Critic League soon. So far, yeah, Zanku and I have only been the two to sign up so far. We need all of you other plebs to jump in so we can have some fun next year and you guys can lose again.
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years in a row losing. I think I was second to last this year, which I had a curse list, to be
fair.
You
didn't have a good year. You did not have a good year.
Everything I've pulled got delayed. I'm just trying to think of a witty developer name.
But. Nice. Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing what you come up with. It's usually pretty stupid and par for the course, but I'm excited to see what you come up with. Special shout out to Occam's Laser for majority of the music you hear today during the show. Go check them out wherever you can find music and people, including YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You won't be disappointed. Please take a moment and do us a favor if you'd be so kind. Head over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. Really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well. Patreon.com/RPGera. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing, and if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continue to listen to the episodes as they upload each week. Works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, Jexx and Zenku. All right, Sev, we have a really, really fun episode lined up today. We are going to be recapping and going over the biggest announcements and the world premieres coming out of last Thursday's Game Awards. A star-studded show, one of Keighley's best, if not best, which we will talk about a little bit later. But it should be a lot of fun. And Kyle, even though he's not on the show, did sit down with me over the last few days and we recorded a little bit of his thoughts on the Game Awards as well, which will be included when we get to that. But you know what I want to do. Right now, I want to transition into a little what's new with you. And you should be happy because a game that you have been basically foaming at the mouth for over the last several months, maybe potentially years. I don't know how long you've been following this one, but Chained Echoes is finally available. And it took you a couple days to get in, but you're probably already further than me at this point because you've had the entire day to jump into it. How far are you and what do you think of Chained Echoes so far?
So I'm by 5.5 hours in. I had a few issues.
We're about the same spot then. Okay.
Yeah, had a few issues at home today. My boiler broke, so I currently have no hot water or no heating.
Living like a caveman.
Right, yeah. It's 0 degrees outside, so it is freezing pretty cold again.
Start a fire. Be a caveman like they did. Just light a fire.
But yeah, I have managed to stick about 5.5 hours into Chained Echoes today. I'm absolutely loving it. It's beautiful. It is what I hoped it would be. And I think from the like review scores, everyone seems to be agreeing that it is a really good love letter to 16-bit RPGs. Is it currently sat at like 91 on OpenCritic?
It's at like a 91 on OpenCritic, yeah. It's doing really, really well. Way better than I thought it was going to do for being the style of game that it is, and in such a throwback style. I'm very excited to see the reception of Chained Echoes in 2022.
I think it's currently sat, it's only sat behind Elden Ring and God of War, which is pretty amazing, to be fair. But yeah, I really like the just like the fluidity of the game, like even the characters, they move quickly. You don't need to use a run button. There is no run button. The characters move quickly. All the areas seem to like flow really quickly, and you don't seem to spend too much time in any one space. So like, I think I've been through about 4 or 5 different areas already. Like, I've been through a woods, I've been through a sewers, I've been through a castle, I've been through all these bits, if you get me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not going to give away spoilers, but like, whereabouts have you got with your 5.5 hours?
So I'm dealing with the passport stuff right now.
Okay,
have you gotten that far?
Yeah, you get to a gate and they say you need a pass.
Yes.
Yes, I am exactly there, yeah.
Okay, so we're literally in the exact same spot. I have been really enjoying Chained Echoes for a game that I really didn't know much about until you actually introduced it to me when we were doing Q4 Thunderdome back in October, I think is maybe even the first time that I really gave a second look to Chained Echoes and really knew what this team was putting into it. It is, as you mentioned, an absolute love letter and throwback to that 16-bit style JRPG, obviously 16-bit being Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis era style of games, but it's done so well. However, it's modernized as well, right? Like, they've taken a lot of the frustrations out of the formula that some of these hardcore JRPGs used to follow in the golden age of the Super Nintendo and PlayStation era, where some of these games were really punishing and really unforgiving if you screwed something up, or even just like by requiring you to grind enemies in order to, you know, you got to appear on Elevation and Dark before you can challenge for a title on Dynamite or Rampage. Yeah. You got to grind those all level enemies before you can challenge some of these bosses. And Chained Echoes takes the grind completely out of the game. You can't grind to level up. It is impossible.
Yeah, it's got like as you say, modernized its battle system. Like there is no random encounters on the field, and after every fight, like all your health and all your like TP, which is your MP essentially.
Which I love. That has always been a feature that in JRPGs, I appreciate when your HP and your MP or your TP or your SP or whatever the game is calling it. I appreciate when that stuff goes back to 100% after a battle, because it sucks, especially back in the day when random encounters were a thing, to finish a battle at like no life, no mana left. Mm-hmm. You take two steps and you're already at another battle and you're dead.
Yeah.
That is not happening here.
Yeah, it used to mean like dungeon would be like a war of attrition, like have you got enough MP, have you got enough potions and stuff.
Correct.
To get yourself through, whereas this now basis, it's like it's battles on can you come up with the correct strategy to get through this battle. I'm not finding the battles massively difficult. There have been a couple of times where I just haven't been paying attention to my health, and therefore like a character is like suddenly died. Oh shit, I haven't been paying attention to him. But it's got this beautiful little overdrive system in the top corner,
which is a cool system. Yeah, I like it. You want to stay in the green.
Mm-hmm, you stay in the green. When you're in the green, you're in overdrive, which means you use half your MP for skills, you take half damage, and you do like critical hits, or you do extra damage, which is really good. And then there are certain skills that will like take it back down, because everything you do pushes it up. And if you get into red, then
you start taking triple damage or something like that.
Yeah. And the damage is pretty harsh, to be fair. Like things will hit you for like 40, 50, and you've only got 80 HP. So you really don't want to take too many of them, to be fair. But I've got to the point where we've now got like switching party members, and you can switch party members in battle, but you don't get to choose like who you switch at any one point. You essentially have a tag team partner for, and I've only got six characters at the moment.
Yeah, so at the moment we're at, we each have six characters, so there's four active on the map, and you can have up to four tied to them, right? I'm assuming we get eight total throughout the game. I'm assuming we actually will probably get the other two very soon. Seems like they've been giving you the characters pretty close to the beginning and right up front.
Yeah. So the ones that are in tag, you can switch them out at any point as long as you're not dead. I'm not sure if you could do it when you're sleeping. Yeah, you essentially just like switch them out straight away. And
anything that blocks your character from being able to act blocks you from switching as well. And it doesn't take an action to switch either, which is beautiful. Like if you decide that, oh man, you know, I don't use Victor, right? I don't have him in my main four because he only serves a purpose to heal or to buff, and his attacks are generally pretty weak. So I leave him usually partnered up with not Len, but the guy that tags around with her. What was his name? I don't remember his name.
Rob.
Is it Rob? Okay, so he's usually partnered up with Rob. And anytime I just need to throw something out, I just quickly switch. But I've been really focusing on the red-haired girl, the thief.
Yeah.
She's probably my favorite character so far, and the one that I tend to control out in the world and in battles, you know, the most.
Okay, so I'm using Glenn, the main female character, Rob, and Victor, and then I've got...
Ah, you're a Victor fan. Okay, all right.
He's like a bard, isn't he, essentially?
Well, there are class emblems in Chained Echoes, which I think is cool, because not every... And I honestly have no idea how many classes there are in the game, and I'm assuming there's probably some hidden ones. That just would make sense to me based on the type of game that it is. But every character, when they join your party, they don't have a class, right? They're just stats and abilities and skills.
Yeah.
And you have to equip a class emblem onto them in order to increase the stats that are appropriate for that class. And Victor, the first emblem you get is Cleric.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one I have as of right now. It seems to be that that's meant for him, because he has the most healing spells in his tree throughout all of the levels that I was taking a look at.
Okay, so I haven't looked through any of the skill trees. I stuck the cleric on the main female.
That's what my roommate Justin did too.
Yeah, she's got like fire, wind, water spell, so I gathered she'd have like a high mana pool, so she's now got offensive spells and like the heal all and the revive. So yeah, I tend to keep Glenn and the main female, I'm blanking on her name, as my main two, and then got Rob. Did you get the pandemic attack?
Yes.
Yeah, so you shoot someone, Rob's got a bow and arrow, you shoot someone, give them poison, and then on his next turn, if you shoot them again with the pandemic, it then poisons everyone on the field, or every enemy on the field.
Yeah, it spreads to the other enemies, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, that's my go-to opening gambit, if you get me. But yeah, I'm really liking this battle system. It's really smooth, like when the battles are over, like it hasn't got like a little jingle, it doesn't do this like splash the XP and stuff over the screen, it's kind of just like snap, snap, and it's done, and carry on running around. Just like, it really feels like it's not wasting your time at all. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been an absolute joy to sit back and play. I am playing it through Xbox Game Pass. I'm assuming you're doing the same.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is available on there on both PC and console if you do subscribe to the service. Absolutely worth checking into. Kyle did say he would jump into this. When we recorded the Media Files episode for this past week, which was our our favorite video games of 2022, Chained Echoes made my list.
Good. I'm glad it did.
And I'm only 6 hours in, not even, right? Like, It was the game that I talked about on there that I have the least experience with up to this point in time. Everything else that I had talked about, I had largely finished. Some of them even 100%, like Ragnarok and Elden Ring. But I can already tell, like, Chained Echoes is not going to decline the further in it gets. It's just going to keep steady or increase in terms of fun and the just enjoyment factor that you can get out of this, especially if you are a fan of this 16-bit style JRPG. And supposedly it's like 40 hours of content in this game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at 5 already, and I don't want it to end. I don't think 4 is long enough for me, so I think I'm at 5 because I spent a lot of time running around the first field.
Way too much time exploring that first field. And you're not supposed to, I don't think, because you will get to some enemies that just stomp you.
Yes, yeah, I definitely found one that I landed a hit on and they hit me, and everyone went to one HP. And I thought, okay, run.
Like, and you just quickly escape, which is another beautiful thing, is that if you screw up in the battle, you can just escape, right? You escape and then you can target them and fight them again, and your HP is back up, your TP is back up. Like, it's not that punishing, which is a nice deviation from the formula, especially because these games do stick around so long and they are so lengthy.
Yeah, so I've seen in the settings you can adjust like the aggressiveness of the enemies and stuff.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
I didn't know what that would do. Like, does that mean, because there's not random encounters, so I wasn't sure what that meant.
From what I've heard, like the AI is set to be smart, and what that means is that like if you've got a character who's like low on HP, the enemies will aim for their majority.
Oh.
So they will try and like take the weakest off first, if you get me. So if you lower the aggressiveness, they won't be so like active in doing that.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
That you have control over something like that. That's actually pretty neat.
Yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about it is, did you do the turtle race?
Did I do the what?
The turtle race.
The turtle race, yeah. And you have to talk to the turtle to figure out which one is like the winner, because it switches positions. There's four turtles in this town, and you're playing as Victor, who's acting like a little freaking kid running around playing carnival games. And what is it? It just says turtle or something like that, right?
Yeah, so I didn't realize I could talk to the turtles. So I never actually talked to them. I bet on it like three times and lost every time.
You can pay in the alley, I think he charges you 40 tokens. He'll tell you to talk to the turtles.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I didn't do that. I had great fun listening to the music of When the Turtles Race. Did you notice that?
Wait, it so you, even before I said it, you didn't know to talk to the turtles?
No.
Oh, dang. Yeah, so you talk to all four turtles. One of them will scream out turtle to you, and the others say like right? Like they seem like they're the slow ones. So the one that's yelling at you, and there's only one of them each time, is going to win that race.
Oh, fair. But yeah, the music in the background for like the majority of the game is like what you'd expect from RPG stuff, but when the turtle race starts, it turns into like death metal.
Exactly. Like that metal chocobo version in Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah. I thought that was a great distraction. There are loads of little nods and stuff to other RPGs and like quips and jokes and stuff. But yeah, really well done game.
I've been really enjoying it. I think it's fantastic. A nice close to 2022, which was a very strong year in gaming, which again, you can go check out this past episode of the Media Files where Kyle and I sat down and really talked in depth about 2022 as a whole compared to the previous years of 2020 and 2021, even a little bit further back to an extent, and looked ahead to next year. So great way to close out the year. Go check it out. Chained Echoes on Game Pass if you have it. Otherwise, it's currently on sale on Steam right now through December 15th for $21.24, which is the first week sale. Normal retail price is $25. I'm assuming that's what it's selling for on other platforms if you don't have a subscription. So $25 for this game, that's a good price.
Oh yeah, well worth it. And there's a physical release coming out next year, which I'm probably going to pick up at this point.
I was going to say, you're going to pick it up just to have it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
something
yeah.
You do, yeah. I used to do that kind of stuff, but not anymore. I just don't care. Oh, man. Well, we do have a little bit of a different format for the episode today, because the main crux of the news that we're going to be talking about is all centered around the information that came out of the Game Awards last Thursday. So what we're going to do is actually combine the Sean Waltman lightning round into the main discussion as just one thing a little bit later on. But there was one other piece of news that came out this week or this past 7 days that I want to touch on before we move on to the new release roulette. And that is something I put in Discord the other day because it is a pretty big deal. The Federal Trade Commission has officially sued to block Microsoft from acquiring Activision Blizzard in their proposed $68.7 billion deal because the FTC says it would, quote, enable Microsoft to suppress competitors to its Xbox gaming consoles and its rapidly growing subscription content and cloud-based games, end quote. In the complaint, the agency pointed out Microsoft's record of acquiring and using valuable gaming content to suppress competition from rival consoles, including its acquisition of ZeniMax, parent company of Bethesda Softworks, and added that Microsoft decided to make several of Bethesda's titles, including 2023's Starfield and Redfall, Microsoft exclusive, despite assurances it had given to European antitrust authorities that it had no incentive to withhold games from rival consoles. So now that we know the FTC is going to attempt to block Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, do you think it'll go through? Do you think they actually succeed in stopping this from happening?
I personally don't think they will stop them, to be honest. I'm pretty sure when Microsoft announced that they'd taken ZeniMax, they did state that some games would be, they'd be on a case-per-case basis, wouldn't they, of whether they came over exclusive or not. I don't really see that much of an issue with Microsoft getting Activision Blizzard, to be honest.
I don't either. I mean, I really don't. I know a lot of people are worried with the monopoly feel, right? Like one parent company owning so many different IPs and so many different studios, which was a big thing with Microsoft before, right? And Windows and PCs. This has happened to Microsoft before, and they came out okay and on top. So I'm assuming that a similar trajectory will be followed here with the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. I do think it goes through. I think there might be some hiccups, right? I think it might get delayed, or it might take longer than Microsoft and Activision Blizzard hoped it would take in order for the deal to actually go through. But I think you're right in the Bethesda situation. Other games like Elder Scrolls, right? And Fallout. Mm-hmm. Games that are already established on other platforms, those are still coming to other platforms to the best of our knowledge. It's games like Starfield and Redfall, which are two brand new IPs, right? Brand new gaming franchises for Bethesda and Microsoft that are now being exclusive to the console. And you can also look at Deathloop, right? Which I know was announced before the acquisition, but that did release on PlayStation 5 first and maintained a year exclusivity to the PS5 before it eventually came to Xbox and Game Pass. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Microsoft is, you know, going to stop other console developers like Sony and Nintendo. And in fact, Microsoft just recently put out a 10-year plan to get Call of Duty like back on Nintendo consoles. They want the franchise back on Nintendo because it, you know, Nintendo is sorely lacking first person shooters. Now, granted, is it going to look good? Probably not, because it's Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they want the franchise on the Switch or on the Super Switch or whatever comes after the Switch. They want it there. So Microsoft would be absolutely insane to pull titles like Diablo from being multi-platform or Call of Duty from being multi-platform, because you're just losing out on millions upon millions of dollars if you do that. Granted, I know you could say the same about Starfield and Redfall, right? There's probably a lot of people that would buy and play Starfield on a PS5 if given the opportunity. But the number is not nearly as much as it would be for a Call of Duty.
Yeah, and we do have to remember that, like, in the mindshare of consoles, like, Microsoft is number three. Like, Sony and Nintendo are...
But quickly catching up, thanks to Game Pass.
Yeah, like, the Game Pass is an incredible deal, but Xbox is still, like, the third competitor, so why would they not try and get more of the market share? Like, this is what it's all about, isn't it? It's like them, is them standing toe-to-toe with the rest of them and doing what they need to do to essentially sell more consoles and get more people on board. And if that means having Starfield as an exclusive, then that's absolutely fine. That business, I don't see an issue with that.
I don't either. And I mean, maybe we just don't look at this in like a business mindset, or I don't know how else to look at this. I mean, we're obviously just looking at it as fans, right? I mean, sometimes the fans are way too noisy. So
they were.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't make enough noise and fizzle out.
I'm never gonna live that day.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. I do think that this could delay the acquisition, as I mentioned earlier. I know they were shooting to have this complete by like the beginning of 2023. FTC suing likely could put a wrench into it and make it drag out longer than either side was hoping for. But we obviously will keep an eye on it and see where this goes over the next few weeks and months, or however long it takes. So we'll keep an eye on it. But I think we should now kick to, and I'm trying to think like in my head, okay, so I normally put the ad break after Kickstart My Heart. I guess it's technically only been 26 minutes into the podcast so far as of the Audacity recording. So instead of the ad break right now, what we're going to do is just jump right in to the new release roulette. And Sev, we have a pretty busy week, probably the last busiest week of 2022, right? We have a full 6 games to talk about in the new release roulette. And I think the only other game that's coming out the rest of this year that is noteworthy is probably Sports Story, because it still does not have a release date, just a December 2022 release.
Okay.
But this week is looking really solid. And I am looking forward to, I think, all 6 of these games, which is the first in quite some time. So let's talk about these. Game number one, coming on Tuesday to PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. It is Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion, an HD remastered version of the smash hit prequel to Final Fantasy VII. In addition to all graphics being remastered in HD, fully voiced dialogue and new soundtrack arrangements make for a dynamic new retelling of a beloved classic. The game follows the story of Zack Fair, a young warrior admired by the boy destined to save the world, trusted by men renowned as heroes of legend, and loved by the girl who holds the fate of the planet in her hands. Are you going to pick up Final Fantasy VII Reunion, especially now that you have a PS5?
I do have a PS5 now, yeah. No, I have not played Final Fantasy VII Remake yet, because I already just got a PS5. I missed out on playing a lot of the late-gen PS4 stuff because it just made my PS4 too loud. So,
trying to keep it from catching on fire.
Right? Although the fire would probably do me well right now. But yeah, there are quite a few games I need to catch up on, Final Fantasy Remake being one of them. But yeah, probably once I've done that, and move on to...
Well, the good news is that if you wanted to follow it in storyline format, I'd almost tell you to start with 7 Reunion, because it's the prequel.
It is a prequel, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I almost tell you to start here. But okay. I'm really looking forward to this. I will be jumping in... It's so tough to say, and I can't probably say this week, because... I'm still putting so much time into World of Warcraft Dragonflight right now, getting ready for raids, which do start tomorrow night, Tuesday, December 13th. My guild that I raid with in Retail Warcraft runs on Tuesdays and Thursday nights from 9 to 11:30 my time, Eastern time. So for 2.5 hours each of those nights, I will be tied up. But outside of that, I have to work on my gear and I have to get prepared for these raids. So I've been putting most of my gaming time into Warcraft right now, but I can't wait to jump into Crisis Core again. It's such a great game and such an amazing soundtrack. Game number two, also coming tomorrow, Tuesday, to PC, Xbox Series, and Xbox One, and it will be available on Xbox Game Pass. I already have it pre-installed. High on life, just like I am right now. Fresh out of high school with no job and no ambition. It's like the story of my life. You've really got nothing going for you until an alien cartel, and okay, here's where we deviate, that wants to get high off humanity invades Earth. What a game. Now, you and a team of charismatic talking guns must answer the hero's call and become the deadliest intergalactic bounty hunter the cosmos has ever seen. Move over, Samus. Travel to a variety of biomes and locations across the cosmos, go up against the nefarious Garmantuous and his gang of goons, collect loot, meet unique characters, and more in the latest comedy adventure from Justin Roiland, creator of Rick and Morty. I think this game looks pretty dope.
Yeah, it looks super unique. The talking guns aspect. Like I said, there's one knife called Knifey. Yeah, it does look pretty fun. Because it's on Game Pass, I don't see why any of you shouldn't check it out.
Yeah, and reviews have been dropping already. There are 14 available on OpenCritic as of right now. It is sitting at a 73. So actually falling pretty much where I anticipated it would, in like the mid-70 range. That's what I expected from this game.
Yeah, I mean, 73 is still good, isn't it?
So. Yeah, no, it's still above average. Crisis Core sitting at an 80, so that's doing pretty well too.
Nice.
But didn't do well enough for Viz to beat me in Fantasy Critic this year. Suck it, Viz.
Suck it, Viz. So I was telling you before to pick up Chained Echoes, and that would have got you a stack of points, but yeah, you didn't need them in the end.
I didn't need it because enough reviews are now available for World of Warcraft Dragonflight, and it's sitting at an 87 on OpenCritic. So that alone got me 17 points. And River City Girls 2 also comes out this week, which I have. So When all is said and done, I'll be over 170 points. Viz sitting at a lowly 127. He's just an afterthought this year. Game number three coming on Wednesday to PS5 and Xbox Series, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition. Available as a free upgrade to anyone that already owns The Witcher 3 on PS4 and Xbox One, the next-gen update features 4K textures and models, ray tracing, improved gameplay, a 60fps mode, cloud saves, photo mode, and new content inspired by Netflix's The Witcher series. I'm excited to play this game again. I haven't played it since it came out initially I take that back, because I did play the DLC in 2016. So I haven't really played The Witcher in over 6 years now. It's been that long. The Witcher 3 is my game of the generation for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One generation. I think that was my favorite game that came out in that time. It is absolutely phenomenal. the next gen updates. I've never played The Witcher on PC, so I never got to see it look as gorgeous as it possibly could. I played it on my PS4. I don't even think the Pro was out by the time I played The Witcher 3. So I'm excited to go through it again on PS5. I already own it, so I do get it for free. I already own all the DLC. And what's crazy is that I never finished the second DLC for The Witcher 3. I can't remember which one came second. There was like Blood and Stone and Blood and Wine and Hearts of Stone or something like that. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what they were called. But I'm looking forward to replaying this experience and likely will not put 300 plus hours into it again like I did last time. But I'm looking forward to getting back into this world and messing around. It was a lot of fun. So there's that.
So I never finished it the first time around, but I have bought it. I bought it on sale on the Series S a few weeks ago.
Oh, so you're ready to go. You can just immediately upgrade on Series, or you can just immediately upgrade on Wednesday.
Yeah, but I do also have a complete edition copy on disc for the PS4, so I can just pop that on my PS5.
Oh, then I'd almost tell you to play it on PS5 over the Series S.
Yeah, I think I probably will. But when I bought it on the Series S, I didn't have a PS5. I didn't know I was going to get one, so it was kind of a... But yeah, I'm ready for this. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I will finish it this time.
Nice, me too. Game number 4, coming on Thursday to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series, Blacktail. Become the guardian of the woods, or the terror nightmares are made of. Forge the legend of Baba Yaga and live out its origins in Blacktail, a one-of-a-kind blend of intense archery combat, magic, and dark storytelling set in a vibrant fairy tale world. So this has been on my radar for a little while now. I actually think this game looks really cool. It's like a, you know, speaking of Elder Scrolls earlier, right? It is kind of like that first person view. You have a bow and are basically just arching your way around the world, I guess. I don't really know. I don't know too much about this game. I just know what I've seen in trailers and screenshots. But graphically, it actually looks really cool. And I like out the Slavic mythology that they're going for in the story.
Okay, so I'm not aware of this one. Just type Blacktail images into Google or get pictures of deers.
Gotta look it up on Steam. Just type Steam Blacktail and you'll get a little bit of a better idea of what this game is about. But like I said, it looks kind of cool. It reminds me a little bit of The Pathless, which was faster paced archery style game when the PS5 first came out. But this game looks gorgeous. Like, this is a really good looking game.
Oh yeah, more than seeing the trailer for it now. Yeah, it does look really, really nice.
Yeah, it looks cool. Game number 5, coming on Thursday to PC and Nintendo Switch, I know is one that Kyle is really looking forward to, and I am as well. Game called Melatonin. Melatonin is a rhythm game about dreams and reality merging together. It uses animations and sound cues to keep you on beat without any intimidating overlays or interfaces. Harmonized through a variety of dreamy levels containing surprising challenges, hand-drawn art, and vibrant music. I'm sure you remember this game. We saw it back during the Summer Game Fest, and it was delayed. It was supposed to come out, I think, back in September. But it's a very simplistic looking game, you know, basically hues of pink and white and orange and yellow dominate the palette that they're presenting to you. But it has that lo-fi feel to it, right? It looks like a pretty cool game.
Yeah, I do remember seeing this. I remember rightly, I put it like in my bottom 10 from the dome.
I think you did. Yeah,
it wasn't one that spoke to me massively.
Sev doesn't need melatonin to fall asleep.
No, it definitely does not. Mate.
Just needs a lot of alcohol and a lot of cigarettes. No, just kidding.
Good times.
Looks like a good game, though. I can't imagine it'll be super long, but I'm looking forward to checking it out when it does release this Thursday. And then our final game this week, game number 6, also coming on Thursday. Thank God it's coming out this year. Thank God it didn't get delayed. To PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, it is River City Girls 2. The River City Girls are back. Misako, Kyoko, Kunio, and Riki, joined by newcomers Marion and Provi, hit the streets for an all-new beat-em-up adventure. Team up for local or online co-op and explore a massive world packed with new abilities, enemies, locations, and more. This game did come out in Japan back on December 2nd, so we're getting it roughly 2 weeks after they did. There was a little bit of a delay in, I think, the publishing rights over here in the States and elsewhere in the world, but I can't wait, dude. I've already listened to the soundtrack. Like, it's a freaking banger. Megan McDuffie has not disappointed in anything that she's done in quite some time, and you know, Christina V providing vocals for some of the tracks is just, It's heaven, man. It's so good. It's such a great synthwave soundtrack. You liked the original, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know you're Mr. Beat-em-up, so.
I do love my beat-em-up, yeah. And every time we've seen this year, I've been desperate for a release date. I think we got a trailer for this at, like, is it Limited Run? Around E3 time?
Yep.
And there was no release date. And then, yeah, we've had more and more trailers with no release date. But yeah, it finally is coming. I'm so excited for this one.
Me too. I can't wait. And this could be a game that I actually do jump into this week a little bit, because I'll probably pick this up on the Switch. And I'll likely probably chip away at it starting this coming up weekend, because I've been dying to play this game. So
yeah.
We will see. Scoring the highest and lowest this week. I mean, we already know High on Life is at a 73. So the question is, do either of the other four games, Crisis Core being at an 80, do any of the other four come in lower than a 73 or higher than an 80?
The only one that's really got a chance, in my opinion, of going lower than a 73, I'd probably say Melatonin. I think Blacktail might be around a 73.
Right around a 73, yeah.
Yeah, Melatonin, just depending on length and whether it sticks what it's going for, sticks to landing, as it were.
I don't think The Witcher 3 on PS5 and Series S and X will get separate reviews. Like, no. I don't know that those will show up, so I don't know that we can count that as... Because, I mean, The Witcher 3 is a phenomenal game. I don't think it's going to come in at like a 92 or something and be one of the best games of 2022. I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to go with River City Girls 2 being the highest. I think that will come above an 80. And I'm going to stick with High on Life being the lowest.
Okay. I'm happy to go with River City Girls highest. Melatonin probably going to sit the lowest.
My pick of the week this week is tough, because I'm torn between Final Fantasy VII Reunion and River City Girls 2. But because I've already played Reunion, I think I'm going to go River City Girls 2.
Yeah. It can only be. I've waited so long. Maybe River City Girls 2 for me.
Yep. All right. We are in agreeance. And that is your new release roulette for this week.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happening so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
So, Sev, now that we are back from our little ad break and Kyle got to tell us all about The Media Files, you know, some days you just want to be Kyle and some days you just don't want to be Kyle, but you can too.
Listen to The Media Files. Brian's on it this time.
Hey, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good episode. I definitely encourage everyone to check it out. But like I said, we're going to combine the Sean Waltman lightning round into the main discussion this week, because instead of it being a lightning round, instead of us trying to move through this in a quick amount of time, we are going to break down the biggest things that stuck out coming out of the Game Awards from last Thursday. And I do have some release dates prepared as well that we'll cover a little bit later on, as we usually do during the Sean Waltman lightning round in the release date roundup. But I want to kick things off by just going over some of the world premieres and announcements that we saw at the Game Awards. And then if I don't touch on anything, I want you to jump in and say things that stuck out to you if there's more than what we go over here. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Agreed.
So what I want to kick things off with, and I didn't put these in any specific order outside of maybe like the last six. I think I saved the six biggest things for last. The rest of them are in no specific order. We did get an announcement for some new DLC for Dead Cells. No, it's called Dead Cells. called Return to Castlevania, which blows my mind, actually, that Dead Cells is still getting new content in 2022. This game came out initially back in what? It came out in 2018. So it is over 4 years old, August 7th, 2018, and they're still pumping out fresh new content. And partnering up with Konami here to put us in the world of Castlevania with Castlevania characters, right? Reimagined music. You get to explore every corner of Dracula's castle, wield classic Castlevania weapons like the vampire killer, the throwing axe, and holy water. We get to, you know, play alongside Richter, Belmont, and Alucard throughout the journey. This is such a cool idea, and it makes me hope that Konami sees how much people are latching onto this as something that's really freaking dope and will make a new Castlevania game.
Yeah, that might be a stretch. I don't think Konami wants to make any more games, really, do they? But maybe they can pass the IP off to someone else.
Yeah,
it is really
Motion
nice to
Twin.
See.
Let them do it. They clearly know how.
It's nice to see Dead Cells getting more content. It is one of the best indie games of the last generation. So yeah, more of it's not a bad thing.
Are you going to jump into this? I probably will.
I will at some point. If they release like an edition with all the content added in, I do have a copy of Dead Cells, but it is like the base copy. But if they release like another copy with the Castlevania stuff added in as well, I might just buy it again.
I imagine they probably will put some sort of bundle together. It would make sense. I'm looking forward to this. Set to come out Q1 2023. It should be a really, really fun time. A game that was announced back during the pre-show, but a release date was not attached to it, is Hellboy Web of Word, which is a third-person roguelite action-adventure set in the Dark Horse Comics, you know, universe of Hellboy. And graphically, this looks like you are playing inside of a comic book, which reminds me a lot of like the Sega Genesis Comic Zone game, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're not really in the panels like you were in that game, but the artistic direction that they're taking this one, it looks very cel-shaded, very comic book, and this game looks really, really solid. I'm looking forward to checking this out.
Yeah, to me also, almost looked like, as you said, like a cel-shaded sort of Mad World-esque, but with
Mad
more
World's
cover.
A good, yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, kind of like a God of War, to be fair. It was like over the shoulder, third person.
A little bit.
I'm thinking rightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's roguelite as well, so definitely interested.
Yeah, I know Kyle was pretty excited for this. Frank was pretty excited for this. This one looks really cool, so hopefully it ends up playing well when it comes out. And it looks like it will. It looked really solid in that trailer we saw, so looking forward to this. A game that was announced to come out in spring of 2023, coming from Private Division, and one that I was a little kind of taken aback by, but I fell in love with because it reminds me a lot of a slowed down version of Gravity Rush. And that's After Us, which has you, you know, kind of running around as the spirit of life. Her name is Gaia, which ties into Horizon as well, actually. And you are kind of navigating these platforms and going about and abstracting and salvaging the souls of extinct animals in this abstract world. It's a very good looking game, and I hope it actually plays well because it's gorgeous, and I really want to check this out.
Yeah, if I remember rightly, it was very fluid. Main character had like big wispy white hair. It looked really pretty. She was running through like fields of flowers and stuff. Yeah, looks cool.
Yeah, this looks really cool. So hopefully it plays well. In the screenshots that were released for the game, one of the spirits that Gaia is kind of salvaging is a dachshund, and it sort of looks like Portillo. I wonder if it is.
Oh.
You know, Greg's dog that passed away. It sort of looks like him.
Oh, bless. I know Portillo is in another game. I can't remember what it is now, but yeah.
That picture-taking game. What was it called? It's on the Switch. It's black and white.
Toem.
Yep, that's the one. That is the one. An announcement coming out of Electronic Arts, not the one I was hoping for. Dragon Age Dreadwolf was a no-show at the Game Awards this year, but we did get a single-player first-person magic shooter announced coming in 2023 called Immortals of Avium. And this took me a minute to like really figure out what was going on in the trailer. But once those door, like, and we only saw like maybe 20 seconds of a snippet of gameplay to this game. But once the gates opened up and you kind of walk out into that world that there's just magic and runes everywhere, you know, things are on fire. There's this massive battle going on and your character starts like charging up these magical spells that they're going to be casting. This looks like it could be a really, really fun game that leans heavily into magic as its primary ability for your combat, which isn't done often, right? Like most games combine magic with physical attacks or things like that. It's not very often where you just have to rely on magic. I hope you just have to rely on magic because that would be cool.
Yeah, to me, I kind of got like Doom Eternal vibes from it. It looked quite like a Doom game, but with
little
magic.
A little bit.
But yeah, I was definitely getting Proceed with Caution vibes. I think to me, I'm just erring on the side of like, this is giving me like Godfall.
Ooh, I hope not. I hope not that bad.
Like, just proceed with caution with this one. Yeah, it looked pretty. It looks interesting, but don't put your eggs in all baskets on this one. Maybe this is one Viz should pick up next year, Fantasy Critic.
It's going to do great. Watch it get like a 90.
Okay,
we screwed ourselves.
Yeah.
Screwed ourselves. A game that was a little surprising to me when it was announced is coming out of Don't Not Entertainment, being published by Focus Entertainment. But so we got the Life is Strange team and the Vampire developer, right? You know, Don't Nod. They did both Life is Strange and Vampire. They announced Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden, a ghost hunting action RPG set to release in 2023. And this takes place back in 1695 in a location called New Eden. This one started out with, you know, two characters talking in what appeared to be some sort of tavern or cabin, right? Like they're just sitting there around a fire, and then like some beasts appear in the trailer and some other woman walks in and's like, oh, you know, this is what you need to do, right? And I don't quite know what style of game we are going to get here. We literally saw maybe 10 seconds, not even, of actual gameplay footage with your main character walking up a hill and this ghostly character basically transporting ahead of you right before you start attacking enemies, and then the trailer ends before you even engage in combat.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to get here with this, but I like the premise. I like games that deal with ghost hunting and just ghosts in general, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on this.
Yeah, I do really like old lore from like the 1600s and stuff like that, or they used to believe in superstitions and
yeah, like the Salem witch trials and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So if we've got an RPG set in that sort of era, then I'm definitely going to pay attention to it.
Which was a big reason that I really wanted to like Greedfall and Greedfall 2.
Okay, yeah.
Because those games are set in a very similar time period. More colonial era, I guess, like 17th mm-hmm. century instead of 16th century. Or I guess that would be 18th century instead of 17th century, because everything is back a year or ahead a year in terms when you're talking about centuries, I think is how
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, I always get confused with that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, dumb, but is what it is. Time, and it passes by every day as we march closer and closer to our fiery graves. And a game that will be interesting closer and closer to its fiery grave coming out in 2023. Still a big announcement because of the IP, but not a game that anyone was kind of, I think, banking on wanting from this franchise. And that's Crash Team Rumble, which is a 4v4 MOBA, more or less.
Yeah, sad. This is very, very sad. This I think this announcement shit the bed, essentially. We could have done with another Crash Team Racing, a Crash Bash remaster. Another mainline Crash game. I thought when it started, we were getting. Do you remember like Ratchet and Clank All for One?
Yes.
Where they did like a Ratchet and Clank game, but it was 4-player co-op.
Yep.
I would have taken that. I'd have taken anything over a Crash MOBA, to be fair.
Would you have taken a Crash Battle Royale that Viz thought this was?
That's tough. I think Battle Royale and MOBA kind of sit on the same the same sort of a place for me. I'd have taken a Crash card game over this.
Like a Hearthstone version of Crash Bandicoot. I was really hoping that we would get a new mainline Crash myself once they put out those teases that, you know, Crash would be there. And he did make a sweet entrance, right? He kind of like rappelled down from the ceiling in his costume. I thought that was pretty cool. Definitely a standout moment, probably more memorable than Al Pacino standing there reading a teleprompter poorly. But
I forgot it was Al Pacino. I thought it was De Niro by the end of the show.
Yeah, I know. It just didn't matter so much that I didn't even remember who it was. And I got confused because Christopher Judge talked for 20 minutes.
He did.
But good speech. Good speech from him. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play Crash Team Rumble. I think this is one that I will probably never look back at.
Yeah, same.
But there are probably people that will, not only because it's Crash Bandicoot, but because there are a lot of fans of this style of game. Just look at the success of Dota 2 and League of Legends. So I don't even know if it really plays like a MOBA that much. Like, I really don't know much about this. It just says it's a 4v4 team-based online multiplayer video game where fans can play as Crash, Dingo Dial, and a host of other friends and frenemies, each of which has their own distinct power, personality, and playstyle. So, okay, it's got to be a MOBA. Each one has their own power, personality, playstyle. This has got to be a MOBA, 100%.
Yeah,
the first team to bank the most Wumpa fruit in their drop-off zone while simultaneously defending the opponent team's drops. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. This is a MOBA, 100%. A game that really was surprising to me because of the star-studded cast that it is boasting is coming from 505 Games and a developer by the name of In-Game Studios, set to release in 2023, first releasing in March 28th, 2023 on PC for the Epic Game Store. Crime Boss, Rockay City, R-O-C-K-A-Y. This looks pretty crazy. You know, it says that Rockay City doesn't just look and feel like the 90s. You'll find a few familiar faces there too, from the charismatic Travis Baker, played by Michael Madsen, and his team of planners and handlers, played by Michael Rooker, Kim Basinger, Danny Glover, and Damian Poyter, to rival gang bosses, played by Danny Trejo and fucking Vanilla Ice Ice Baby. And the righteous sheriff, Chuck Norris. This is a star-studded game. I don't really know what you're going to be doing in this game, but it's a star. It looks like a shooter, some sort of shooter, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a star-studded game.
Yeah, it's definitely one to keep an eye on just for the amount of people in it. Yeah, I couldn't tell whether this was meant to be open world or level-based, or it was just going to be like a narrative-heavy experience. We saw a bit of gameplay, but we didn't really get what this is.
Yeah, we need to see more on this. We need to see Vanilla Ice. Hopefully, he raps in the game. He has to.
Stop.
Collaborate and listen. He just starts breaking down like in his boss battle, trying to confuse you. That'd be sick.
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Oh, man. The DLC was finally revealed for Horizon Forbidden West. It is called Burning Shores, and it will be releasing on PlayStation 5 April 19th, 2023. No PS4 version planned for this DLC, so this DLC is next-gen exclusive, but it is going to take Aloy into the ruins of Los Angeles, where a massive machine threat lurks in its shadow, a huge challenge that Aloy must overcome by using all of her skills and abilities. This looks good.
I have not played Forbidden West.
But you're going to.
Yeah, I am going to. It's going on the list with the other things that I need to play that I can now play because I have a new console. But we'll get there one day.
I'm looking forward to jumping back into the land of Horizon Forbidden West. This is a DLC that I will pick up on day one. Obviously, I absolutely loved Forbidden West. Kyle and I talk about it in the media files, even though he was not a major fan of the sequel to Zero Dawn. I thought it was great. I thought it was a very well put together game, and I'm looking forward to being back invested in that world, in that IP, and really just seeing everything that they have planned for the future, because the story does go in some pretty crazy directions near the end of Forbidden West. So I'm actually curious to see how that ties into the DLC. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
A game that I don't think anybody saw coming. A Switch exclusive releasing on March 17th, 2023, Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon. Now, I want to get your opinion on this, Sev, because I know you're not a major fan of Bayonetta, at least in terms of like Bayonetta 2, Bayonetta 3, etc. But this is not a traditional Bayonetta game, and it's actually one that I think you might be into.
Yeah, the isometric camera is camera angle is definitely one I prefer in video games. The art style, the camera, and the combat. This thing looks beautiful. It looks absolutely beautiful.
It looks as close to an RPG as it can without actually being an RPG.
Yeah, I'm completely sold on this one. This is one I will play.
Definitely. Yeah, this game looks absolutely gorgeous. This is something that nobody expected from the Bayonetta franchise. It is just so cool looking. It's Platinum developed, right? Like, the amount of people they must have working at Platinum Games to pump out the amount of content that, like, Bayonetta 3 just came out like 2 months ago, and they already have another full-fledged Bayonetta side story ready to go. I'm assuming this will not be as lengthy as a mainline Bayonetta game, but it's still going to be phenomenal, it looks like, and I'm looking forward to jumping into this. I know Kyle is head over heels for this game. Like, it just looks so good, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of puzzle solving in this game too, which is really cool. I like it a lot. This game looks dope. A game that I am so happy we finally saw. I'm so excited for this studio to come out and show off their first game, because I'm such a big fan of Ken Levine. His new studio, Ghost Story Games, announced Judas, a narrative first-person shooter. In these are the guys that created BioShock, right? Like the original BioShock, and then went on to do BioShock Infinite. They did not make BioShock 2. That was a different studio. They did do BioShock and BioShock Infinite. This looks like BioShock, and my God, do I need this game in my life.
Yeah, it definitely did. It looked like a new BioShock game, just under a different name. I'm very excited for it. Hopefully it doesn't Callisto Protocol it. So.
These guys know how to make a world, though, man. Like, they know how to make something that is so unique looking and really invest players in. And I love the name, too. Like, Judas. That's a great name for a game. I'm assuming and hoping that that plays into some of the narrative plot points of maybe, you know, betrayal or things like that.
Yeah. I'm becoming.
Judas in my mind. Hades 2. Probably one of the biggest announcements from the Game Awards this year. Hades fucking 2. Everybody is ready for some Hades 2, man. The first time Supergiant Games is following up one of their games with an actual direct sequel.
Yeah.
This looks incredible. Hades was such a phenomenal game. This one looks just as good, and I am ready. I don't need to see any more on this game. Like, they showed what they needed to show. Everybody knows it exists. Everybody knows it's going to be amazing because of how good the first one was. But you get to master witchcraft and the dark society in this game. They are giving you more to do, more stuff, and this just looks so cool, man.
Yeah, it does look super cool. And while this trailer was going on, I thought it was like, oh, they're just doing a reskin of Hades. Because, as you said, they don't really do sequels.
Yeah, they don't.
And then they went, oh, it's Hades 2. Oh, okay, fair enough. They are doing a sequel. And, fair. Hades is a very, very good game, so why would you not?
Looking forward to seeing what Darren Korb comes up with for the soundtrack to this game. This should be absolutely phenomenal. It is planned to launch an early access on Steam and the Epic Game Store for PC next year in 2023, just like the original Hades did. It did launch an early access for PC before it came out elsewhere. I don't know if I'll play it on PC in early access or if I'll wait for the full release outside of early access on consoles. I did play Hades on the Switch, and I really, really enjoyed it on the Switch. I thought it was a great handheld game. And since I don't have a Steam Deck right now, I likely might wait for the Switch version when it inevitably comes out in either late 2023 or maybe even 2024. But this looks great. I'm excited for more Hades. I'm excited for more Supergiant Games, of course. This looks phenomenal. A game that makes me so happy coming from Software. Shout out to them for winning Game of the Year with Elden Ring. We have a new Armored Core that I mistakenly called Front Mission during the reaction video because... two Met games and I got them confused, but they finally revealed the curtain and pulled it back on Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon, which is set to come out next year in 2023. Are you ready for some dynamic, fast-paced mech action, Sev? I know you like mechs.
I do like me some robots, some Gatto Robatos. So yeah, I'm in on Armored Core. The can call it front mission. Then yeah, I am in on Armored Core.
And From did recently announce and say, coming out of the Game Awards, that this is not going to follow the same formula as like their Soulsborne games.
Mm-hmm.
So it will have some different combat. It's not going to have the, and in fact, Kyle and I may have recorded the portion of his thoughts on the Game Awards before that was said. So when we put that in here in just a few minutes, we might actually talk about how we hope it has the same combat. But it's supposedly it's not going to. It's going to have its own unique style and new action adventure experience type of a thing. This looks cool, though. I'm on board. From Software knows how to make a great fucking game. I have a feeling they'll be able to knock this one out of the park. Can you imagine if they get back-to-back Game of the Year nominees for Elden Ring and Armored Core 6?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a proven game for them. Like, I know they make fantastic games, but they make fantastic games in the same genre, if you get me. They're all the Souls-like, so we'll see. If they can knock it out of the park with Armored Core, then yeah, you can put From Software on a pedestal as one of the greatest developers of all time.
We'll have to see next year. It's going to be a good year next year. A lot of games we're talking about now, a lot of games we're not talking about yet, but we will. This one, however, likely not coming out in 2023, but it is the biggest announcement coming out of the Game Awards from last Thursday, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion. And honestly, as far along as this trailer made the game look, there is still a snowball's chance, like, that this, I was going to say in hell, but that would mean no chance. But there is a slight chance that this game comes out near the tail end of 2023. And that is DS2, a Hideo Kojima game, which Kyle and I will point out in the discussion that him and I had that'll be inserted into the show. They never officially called this game Death Stranding 2.
They did not. Okay.
It was only revealed the YouTube video for Kojima Productions is called Death Stranding 2 Working Title. TGA 2022 teaser trailer. Kojima and Keighley only referred to this game as DS2, and Kyle and I speculated that we wonder if that means something, because everything always means something when it comes to Hideo Kojima.
It does, even if you can't work it out, yeah, it will mean something. Cool. I have yet to finish Death Stranding 1. I have played some of it.
But you will be playing it, obviously. You will finish it before Death Stranding 2 or whatever they end up calling it does come out. This is a sequel to the original game set many years in the future with a gray-haired Norman Reedus. Obviously, Leah Sadoi back, Ellie Fanning, Shiello Kitsuno, Troy Baker back. A lot of the cast is returning from the original game. But I am very excited to see what this game ends up being, because based on how the original, and I'm not going to spoil it for you since you haven't finished it, but based on how the original game ends and it being so far in the future after that original story, it has to play differently. Like, it can't just be about going around picking up parcels and delivering them anymore.
Yeah, can't be about connecting the world is now connected.
Correct. Maybe. It's technically already reconnected, right? Unless something happened and it's no longer connected. But then again, you're just retelling the same story at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what they do. Death Stranding 2, like I said, likely not making it in 2023. A release date was not obviously attached to this project. I most realistically see this coming out near the tail end of 2024, but because of how far along it looked, I was not expecting to see as much as we did in the first trailer for DS2 when it first came out. There is a chance. Small chance, but there is a chance for next year. Just like I don't think there's a chance for Judas next year. I think Judas is more realistically a 2024 title as well, but there is maybe a small chance Judas comes out next year.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Judas probably is safe bet 2024.
Yep.
Yeah.
But those are the 13 big games I pulled out of the Game Awards from last Thursday. I know you have a few others that stuck out to you that we want to talk about here.
Yeah. First one to mention is we did get a new trailer for Tekken 8. I know you said during the live stream you weren't a massive fan of Tekken games.
Not a big fan of Tekken or Street Fighter, but I will say Tekken 8 looks better than Street Fighter 6.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I've always liked Street Fighter and Tekken, but like if I put them in rank order, it would probably be like Mortal Kombat, Soul Calibur, Tekken, and then like Street Fighter somewhere around the bottom. But so I do like me some Eddie Gordo, some Hoang. We did get confirmed that Jun Kazama was back. I think she's been back to like one of the early games. I think she disappeared in. We got a nice returning character. And I think the visuals of this look wicked. So I'm excited for some Tekken 8. Next one, we had Blue Protocol.
Yeah. I was excited to see this at the Game Awards. I wasn't expecting this at the Game Awards, but I am on board, man. I am ready for a new anime-style MMORPG that isn't Genshin Impact. Nothing against Genshin Impact. I, you know, really didn't give that game as much attention that I probably should have based on the style of game that it is, but it can really be played entirely single player, right? Like, Blue Protocol is a traditional free-to-play MMORPG.
Yeah, and I don't usually, free-to-play MMORPG tend to get under my skin. I don't play them all, but this one did look really pretty. I like the art style.
It's because you like Bandai Namco, though.
Yeah.
You like that tail style.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where I was going with it. So I've definitely got an eye on this one. I definitely might be checking this one out.
Oh, I for sure will be checking this out. It's set to come out in the second half of 2023. A closed beta test is set to run sometime in the first half of 2023 on PC. But otherwise, it's going to release on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. I probably will play this on console. Like, I have a feeling since it's being developed for console, it's going to run well on console. I'll likely put this on the PS5.
Nice. Maybe we can join up and do some anime bullshit together.
Yeah, I'll heal you. I usually play healers in this kind of game.
Okay, wicked. And then the last one for me, which is probably my favorite announcement because it was dumb, that's what I do, was a game called Party Animals.
This game is actually just Sev the game.
Well, yeah, if Sev got a bunch of onesies, he wore his zebra onesie or his cat onesie and bash people on the head.
You
yeah,
know you have onesies for all of these animals already. Who are you trying to kid? You have a little T-Rex and a corgi and a bunny and a kitty. And what else was there? There was a fox.
Oh, yeah, there was a royal corgi, wasn't there? Like a Canada goose.
Canada goose, that's what it was. Because all the animals have like an actual accessory that fits them in their actual, like, their actual species.
Yeah, this looks like it's essentially like Gang Beasts. Gang Beasts?
Gang Beasts. Very, very similar vibe in terms of the way that the characters move and the, I don't know what you call that. Physics-based, that's what it is, yep.
But yeah, very, very silly, four-player co-op sort of thing. I think there was a bunch of mini-games and stuff in there as well, or a bunch of different modes. But yeah, sign me the hell up. I want to play some Party Animals.
This is a game I could see you definitely putting so much time into. Set to come out sometime next year, so we'll keep an eye on it. I don't know if I could get behind it. I don't know if there's enough staying power for me in this game, but I would definitely I would give it a chance, maybe. But those are our big takeaways. Now, there are several other trailers that we did not mention that debuted new stuff during the Game Awards, such as Star Wars Jedi Survivor, such as Scars Above, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, Diablo 4, and Final Fantasy 16. They all had massive trailers that, you know, highlighted some cinematics or some gameplay, but ultimately gave us a release date. So we saved those for the release date roundup here. SpongeBob SquarePants The Cosmic Shake releases on January 31st. Season, A Letter to the Future releases on January 31st. Scars Above releases on February 28th. Star Wars Jedi Survivor releases on March 17th. Meet Your Maker releases on April 4th. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League releases on May 26th. Street Fighter VI releases on June 2nd. Diablo 4 releases on June 6th. And Final Fantasy 16 releases on June 22nd. June's looking like a big fucking month next year.
Yeah, and I did like the Suicide Squad trailer.
Great trailer.
A little nod to Kevin Conroy, who sadly passed away. So this is his final appearance as Batman, which is very bittersweet, but everyone should check it out for that reason alone.
I think Suicide Squad is a purchase for me. Obviously, Rocksteady has been phenomenal in their track record on developing the Batman Arkham games. So, you know, they're outside of Sony and, you know, Insomniac doing Marvel Spider-Man and Wolverine and their superhero games. Like, there's not a lot of other superhero games that I will buy day one, right? I did pick up those Batman Arkham games. I will be picking up Suicide Squad.
Nice. And then Diablo 4 looks fantastic.
Oh, man, does it ever. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing that. I will likely put that on the PC. I know I'll probably sink a ton of time into that with Kyle. We're really looking forward to playing some Diablo 4 together. And then Final Fantasy 16 is just looking so damn good. The first mainline Final Fantasy game to be rated M.
Yeah, well, we saw it in the trailer. Like, was it, I can't remember what the little kid's name was, but within like 30 seconds, he had a face covered in blood.
Yeah.
Someone had been killed. And it was just like, okay, quicker in this way with it. And it's definitely a much darker Final Fantasy.
Which I think is what Final Fantasy needs. And that's why... this guy who comes in from the Final Fantasy 14 team, he's the main, like, actual director behind 14, Naoki Yoshida, coming in and being the main guy behind Final Fantasy 16. This honestly could jumpstart the franchise, the single player side of things, once again. Like, 15 was good, right? 13, mm-hmm. not so much. 13, you know, it was okay. 12 was good. 10 was good. 15 was all right, but it took so long to come out, right? Like, we were waiting for this when it was initially announced as Final Fantasy versus 13. So now that 16, which has been pretty quick, right? It was initially revealed to be in development back in, let's see, it was officially announced where... Where was it officially announced? It doesn't say where it was officially announced. I thought it did. Rumors emerged in late 2019 about Final Fantasy 16. Oh, the game was officially announced in September of 2020. So when the game comes out, it'll have only been in development for almost 3 years, a little over 2.5 years. That's way better than the decade it took Final Fantasy 15 to release.
Yeah, but yeah.
So I think this one could be good.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of Japanese RPGs are going the darker route now. And obviously, Final Fantasy 16, Dragon Quest 12 is meant to be a darker take on Dragon Quest. East 10 is going to be a darker take on the East series. So it's like Japan is definitely going through its emo phase.
Yeah.
Definitely going cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So we'll have to see how it goes. But that is the end of our discussion on the Game Awards. I know this episode is going to be a little bit lengthier than a normal episode of Max Level, but I do want to get Kyle's opinion on the Game Awards. So he and I sat down the other day to record some thoughts. Let's go ahead and kick to that discussion. And then, Sev, when you and I come back, we'll be in Kickstart My Heart.
Disproportionate.
And as the listeners just heard, Sev and I just finished recapping the Game Awards from this past Thursday night, which I was live for, as I mentioned, over at youtube.com/RPG Era. You can go back and watch the entire live stream if you so choose to do so. But Kyle, I mentioned at the end when I was talking to Sev that we would be getting your thoughts, your overall thoughts and opinions on the Game Awards. I wanted to have your... Yeah, you're here. I wanted to include what you thought of the Game Awards as an overall into our discussion, because obviously I know there's going to be things that you enjoyed more so than maybe I did or Sev did or something like that. So how did you feel on the Game Awards this year?
I gotta say, this particular Game Awards show, I want to nominate to my Reformed Orthodox Rabbi Bill Clinton. Thank you.
That's all you're gonna say. The suits are coming to escort you off the stage right now.
That's it. I'm out of here. Get arrested. Yeah. overall, my full opinion of the Game Awards, I think that absolute success. I think that the production value of the awards has only gotten better year over year, and continues to get better. The presentation of the awards, I think was fantastic. The presenters that they had were really great. I think that the actual awards that were given, really, really good. I agreed with just about all of them. And
you also predicted a lot of them correctly.
I predicted a lot of them I think a lot of them were kind of gimmies, I'll be honest. But yeah, I lined up kind of with a lot of them in many ways. I also think that the level of announcements and trailers that we got this year was top tier. I think we had an absolutely stellar show of announcements and trailers coming out of it. And I was very shocked by a lot of them, very pleased with a lot of them. I really enjoyed the entirety of this show.
What stuck out to you most in terms of announcements?
Oh boy, if I had to rank them, because you know I'm a ranker. Number one, right off the bat.
A ranker and a wanker.
The ranker wanker's here to rank away. Number one, Hades 2.
Okay.
Yeah. A shock to me, this is the first sequel that Supergiant Games is doing. But when I see Supergiant Games on a screen, I'm instantly tuned in. It doesn't matter what Supergiant Games does, I buy it.
I even said, you weren't in chat at that time, but I said, oh, Kyle's missing Darren Korb. You know he's behind the music.
Oh, yeah. He's done all of their games, a lot of their voice acting. He's absolutely wonderful. Supergiant Games is just a fantastic developer, and Hades is one of the best games I've ever played. So we're getting a sequel to that. That's number one for me.
Which is only announced for PC so far.
So far, but it was such a massive success on Switch.
Everything else?
That, yeah, I think there's absolutely 0% chance it stays on PC only.
It may be PC only to start with, though, with that early access tag.
Early access was only PC for Hades as well. So that may be the case. Number two, got to be DS2.
Death Stranding 2, baby.
I'm specifically not calling it Death Stranding 2 because they didn't call it Death Stranding 2.
They did not.
A single time, in fact, they only called it DS2.
And you have to know with Kojima that means something.
That means something. And he said there's a lot of stuff hidden in the trailer. Start pouring through it and, you know, find what you can find, whatever. But I was a huge fan of Death Stranding. Mm-hmm. I think that Death's, you know,
our
DS2,
game of the year for 2019, was it not?
Yes, yeah. I am so excited that we're getting another one.
Me too.
And I think the trailer that they showed off gave us a lot more than any of us anticipated for
it. Looks
the first
really far
trailer.
Along.
It does. It does. Norman Reedus with a gorgeous head of silver hair in that trailer. It's just such a unique story that it's such a unique game. I mean, there's no other game that's like it. And
I don't think it'll play the same.
I was about to say,
I don't think it plays similarly. I really don't.
It probably doesn't, honestly. And that's and to be fair, after the last game, the way that that game ends, I don't think it could.
Correct. And this is a sequel, like years into the future.
Right, right. So I don't know what to expect entirely with this game. I know to expect to buy it on day one.
Absolutely.
And probably 100%. Get really, really sucked into it.
Anything that Kojima's name is attached to is a day one buy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Number three for me is totally unexected. I think it was kind of reasonable to expect a Hades 2. It was such a massive success. I think DS2 was a given, kind of, knowing Kojima, knowing how big that game was. This one I did not expect, and that's Bayonetta Origins.
Wow. What a great looking game.
A prequel to the Bayonetta games, which are games that I loved. I've loved all three Bayonetta games. I recently finished Bayonetta 3 this year. And this game looks so strange. It's
different.
It's kind of in this storybook, top-down ARPG-style format, it looks like.
Yeah.
Some puzzle-solving going on, but you were playing a young Cereza before kind of morphing into her former or her future Bayonetta form. And there's some weird little witchcrafty stuff going on, but it's in this very, very cutesy style. I don't know what to expect entirely from this. I've watched the trailer multiple times. I don't know what I'm getting into with this game, but I'm getting into this game.
Oh, 100%. This is a game that, you know, I like Bayonetta. You're probably a bigger fan of Bayonetta than I am, but I like Bayonetta in terms of the story and the characters. This is more my style of game that I really, really like, though. This art style is gorgeous. The colors just pop in the trailer and the screenshots that they released. This looks phenomenal and looks way more Japanese than Bayonetta ever does.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. There were no leaks about this game.
No, and to be coming out so soon.
It comes out within the next 6 months. And
March 17th.
Yeah. Next 3 months.
This is a Q1 2023 Thunderdome game.
I said it in the chat, 2023 is just going to be a big deal, I think. I think we're going to see just massive, massive success from a lot of these games within the next 12 months.
Agreed. Did you only have three?
I think those were my three biggest favorite announcements. Oh gosh, Earthblade.
Celeste. New game coming.
New
back.
New game from Maddie Thorson and what are they called? Just Okay Games or whatever it's called. Like
Just
that.
Okay.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Of course, I'm excited for that. I really enjoyed the first game in that series. Diablo 4.
Diablo 4 looks great. Sean's gonna get it on his PS5.
Those guys still know how to make. A cinematic. Boy, can they make a cinematic. More than anybody can make a cinematic. And then I think, of course, a new From Software game, Armored Core 6.
Armored Core 6, yeah.
How could you not be excited about that after this year? So, big announcements. And Jeff Keighley, you know, getting choked up announcing some announcements, almost, it looked like, which was...
He did for both DS2 and Armored Core 6.
Yeah. And... You know, he's got such a close relationship both with Kojima and From Software.
Yeah, Miyazaki.
So you could tell that he was very, you know, he's so personally invested in their success and their well-being and their new games whenever they come out. So Kojima was there, Miyazaki was there, and that was just fun to watch. That's you know, you love watching people get excited and passionate about those types of things. I did pretty good with my predictions for this show.
You did. I did not.
Because you didn't.
I didn't.
How many did I get? Because I predicted four things, and I want to say I got at least two of the four,
You got two, I think, yeah.
We could have predicted anything.
Sure.
Right?
You got Diablo, right? They would have a cinematic trailer, no gameplay. It turns out some of those characters in the Street Fighter VI trailer were new.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Brian, did I get three?
I think we'd have to go with three. If we say that the minute trailer for Street Fighter was an extended trailer,
okay,
we would have to go three out of four.
With new characters, Diablo 4 cinematic trailer with release date, and what else?
I'm trying to think because I deleted it off my script.
Oh, no.
So I'm trying to think what else you had.
I said something goofy about somebody being a superhero, but that one didn't come to pass.
That's the one that didn't happen.
Pedro Pascal and what's her name come out and present an award.
Yeah, from The Last of Us TV show. Yeah, that did happen.
Was that the other one? Was that the one I got right?
It would have to be, yeah.
I think, oh my gosh. Brian, it's brilliant. How do I do it? How do I do it? That's a gold star by any standard.
I mean, you did well.
Three out of four predictions.
You definitely did well.
Holy smokes. Yeah, love the show. Love the show.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. As I mentioned, you know, with Sev, I definitely did too. I thought it was the strongest year for the Game Awards so far and really shows just all of Jeff's hard work is finally coming to fruition and finally paying off in ways that I don't think he expected it to.
Yeah. I think it's only going to continue to get bigger and bigger. You know, he's getting bigger names to be involved with it. We got a new Mario movie trailer, which is that I don't think you realize how big of a deal that is.
Oh, big deal.
Right? To get a new trailer that premieres at the Game Awards for a movie, not a game. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. And that carries a lot of weight in the industry. And so that's going to turn heads, not only with people watching it, but with, you know, studio executives and stuff, and they're going to say, wait a second.
We can show trailers. We can show trailers during this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's 20 million people tuned into this. Maybe we, you know, get eyes on this trailer. We'll see if Jeff Keighley wants to play this trailer. Well, you know, The Rock's got a new movie coming out. Let's have him present an award. Here's a trailer for a new movie.
New Avatar movie. Here's the new trailer.
Which movie?
Avatar.
Oh, who cares about Avatar, man?
There's a game coming out, though. Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah, there's a movie coming out, too.
I know, but it ties into games. I'm just trying to think of ones that tie in.
Oh, I don't even think that matters anymore.
But it does at the same time still.
Now, we're going to see, like, Fast and Furious 13 in, like, 3 years.
Yeah, but the audience would, like, they would turn on that.
I don't think they would. I think people are there for it, man. I think it just shows how important it is, you know. And like
Al Pacino reading poorly off a teleprompter.
Freaking Al Pacino. What a weirdo. What a total weirdo.
Oh, man. You might be right. It was just a little sad that the Mario movie came with no Chris Pratt.
There's nothing sad about that.
He should have been there.
Yeah, honestly, if he came out, I was just going to turn it off.
He should have been there. He could have walked out in Cappy. He should have walked out in Cappy.
Oh, my gosh. Could you?
And threw his hat at Doug Bowser.
He's on stage. Mamma mia, I'm turning the TV up. This is my brother Luigi. Keegan-Michael Key was there, though, which was
good. He introduced the trailer as Toad, yeah.
Little kind of a cringy little thing he did, but it was fine. It's only going to be less cringe, right? And I think, even with the kid that comes on stage and says that Bill Clinton thing, I think overall that's a good thing. Right? I think that's a net positive for the Game Awards. It looks bad in many ways. Like, anybody can just walk up on stage and say whatever they want in the microphone, right? Security's really got to tighten down the hatches a little bit there. But, turned a lot of heads.
Jason Schreier got an interview with him.
Yeah, it was so crazy. So crazy, man.
Literally tracked him down, found him. I thought that was kind of funny.
Unreal.
But it was a good show. Yeah. It was a good show. It was a very good much. Show. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But it is time to say goodbye to you, Kyle, as we kick back to 7i, because you know what that music means. It is time for a little Kickstart My Heart. And for Kickstart My Heart this week, Sev, now that you're back with me and Kyle is back in the land of avocados out in the ether, we are going to talk about a game that Bedroth actually dropped in Discord for us back on December 6th. He's like, hey, I gotta kickstart my heart for you. The host of Finally Game Music, which is a Swedish video game music podcast, is involved in the development of a game that is currently live on Kickstarter. And it just so happened that the Wholesome Games like Snack Direct that took place a few hours before the Game Awards on Thursday highlighted this game as well. And it is already funded. So it's doing pretty well. So we are going to talk about a collection of original rhythm minigames with over 20 minigames, each filled with catchy music, snappy gameplay, and gorgeous hand-drawn animation. The name of this is Bits and Bops. Bits and Bops is a brand new rhythm game made up of over 20 minigames, each filled, we just talked about that, features over 20 unique rhythm minigames to entertain and challenge you, super fun gameplay with simple controls that anyone can learn, catchy, upbeat, original tunes sure to have you bopping along, a custom game engine with lightning-fast response times, beautiful, hand-drawn 2D animation that brings everything to life, and an adorable dog bear named Bop to keep you company. This Kickstarter campaign is kind of lacking, I'm not going to lie. So in terms of information that is delivered to you, there's not much here. What we do have on this Kickstarter instead are some gameplay GIFs and some screenshots that highlight some of the various mini games that you will be, I guess, following along to and staying on rhythm with and staying on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer that we saw at the Wholesome Direct made this game look really cool. I remember even asking about it, and I think it was you that said, oh yeah, this is the one that Bedroth dropped in Discord for us. Didn't even remember that it was the same game, but it looks good, man, and this is something I can definitely get behind.
Yeah, I mean, 20 minigames isn't a lot of minigames, so I don't expect this game to last a whole long amount of time. But yeah, I definitely, well, it's got cats in it, I've just got a dog bear called Bop. I like Bopping. Bop on the head. Hopefully it reaches its 120,000 so we get a Nintendo Switch port.
Right, yep. They've already been unlocking some stretch goals. We're sitting at, is that 120? Okay, so that's US 80,000. So we're at 63, almost 64,000 US dollars as of time of recording. So we're about 16,000 away, which is not much. Still 22 days to go. I bet it makes it.
I hope so. It would be nice to see this on consoles. So I can play it.
And it is relatively inexpensive to jump in to get a copy of the game on PC. 16 US dollars would get you your name in the credits plus the PC copy. It does not talk about in any of the tiers how to get a console version. I imagine the tiers would just, you know, say you can take your pick at whichever version you get if the Switch version ends up happening.
Yeah.
But like I said, not a ton of information embedded in this Kickstarter campaign. They did have which is pretty incredible. They had a tier for $848 US where it allowed you to design a character in the game. Okay. And there were 15 spots, and those are sold out.
Wow.
So 15 people pledged almost $850 to design a character in this game, which is realistically a decent chunk of the $63,000. Like, granted, it's not a ton, but 15 times 850 is, that's division. 15 times 850 is almost $13,000. $12,750. Yeah. So that's a large amount of money from just 15 people.
It is, definitely. I'm looking forward to seeing those 15 people, what those 15 people come up with.
Yeah, me too.
Crocodile, Coop Crocodile, that'd be cool. Yeah, and more cats, pirate cats.
Pirate cats.
Cats and Bananas, Banyan Nuns.
Ah, man, that's a callback to Blood and Destroyers and our hook of the week.
It is.
Yeah, I don't have a ton to read on this one because, like I said, they didn't put a bunch of information in here. You can go check out the trailer on YouTube. You can go over to the Kickstarter.com. The name of the game is Bits and Bots. Check it out. It's already funded, but let's see if we can get that Switch port unlocked. I'm looking forward to checking this out. It's currently set to release in the summer of 2024, so about a year and a half away, which isn't bad. That's not bad at all. But, Sev, that is going to finally bring us to the close of the show this week. Kyle's not here to give us a personal playlist PP pick. So, do you have any famous last words for us?
I do. And this is a dark one. This is from John Arthur Spenelik. And he said, capital punishment means those without capital get the punishment.
This episode of the Max Level Podcast has been brought to you by RPGera.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review, regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check us out on YouTube and Twitch, and make sure you're subscribed or following at both places with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for this episode. We'll be right back.